Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna, the host of the program. I am so glad that you tuned in. I want to talk about following Jesus more closely. I call this authentic discipleship. It goes like this, Luke chapter 14. Great multitudes accompanied Jesus. He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, and wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Wow. I wanted to make sure you got that. Jesus was saying, if you want to be my follower, you have to hate your family, hate your life. See, he was at the pinnacle of his popularity. Jesus, a very charismatic teacher and preacher, healer, and it says great multitudes were following him. And I think Jesus probably needed a publicist or a marketer to help him, because when you've got a lot of people following you and you want to keep them, you have to kind of sweet talk them and feed them sugar and give them something sweet. And yet, here's Jesus at the height of his popularity with all these people following him, great multitudes, because they saw what he did, they listened to his teaching. And here he says, if you want to be my follower, you got to hate yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Wow. What in the world was he talking about? Then he said, you got to count the cost. Right after this, he told a parable about building a tower, told a parable about going to war against another army. And he said, if you're not able to build the tower, first count the cost. And if you're not able to build it, then don't do it. And if you're going to war, first count the cost. And if you're not able to do it, then don't do it. So he's saying with discipleship, there's a cost. It's not supposed to be easy. It's hard. And why is it that so many people today aren't going, they're not even going to church? Not that going to church means that you're a disciple. It's a pretty good indication. Doesn't mean that you're saved. Pope John Paul II, our former pope, talked about baptized pagans. So in other words, he was saying that just because you're baptized doesn't mean that you're saved. People are being baptized and then they're not going to church. And just because you go to church doesn't mean that you're saved. We have to follow Jesus authentically. People are hearing this gospel, but they're not listening. This is a very powerful gospel, very dramatic gospel. I was driving down the road one time, and I saw a billboard about vocations. And it was a very dramatic billboard. It showed Jesus on a cross bleeding, dying on the cross, obviously suffering. And underneath was the caption, "Be a priest like me." Wow. And that's what it is. There's a sacrifice to follow Jesus. There's pain involved following Jesus. It shouldn't be easy. And I want to explain this to you. I'll share some stories about this, but I don't want to try to make you feel guilty because you're not going to church or you're not involved. But what I want to do is try to encourage you and inspire you to come back to church, those of you who aren't going, and to get involved and to authentically follow Jesus. Because I think growing up, when I wasn't going to church, I had fallen away. I had this notion that, well, there's a lot of people that have fallen away. And that's true. A lot of people have fallen away, more than half the people. And I was thinking, well, God's not going to condemn everybody to hell. I'm good the way I am. I think that's deceit. That's not the Christianity that Jesus talked about. He talked about something radical, something profound, something deep, sacrificial, costly. And I don't know about you, but I want to follow Jesus the way he wants to be followed. And that's why he turned to everybody and said, wait a minute, time out. If you want to be my follower, count the cost, hate your own life, hate everybody else. Of course, he didn't mean that directly. What he meant was, love me more than everything. Count the cost. Be willing to sacrifice everything. I walked into a pastor's office one time and I saw a very poignant poster. And it was a painting, actually. It was a haunting painting called The Christian Martyr's Last Prayer. And it showed about 25 Christians huddled in prayer, and they were in the Circus Maximus in Rome. And the backdrop was there was all these people sitting in the stands, and the lions were just being loosed. See, this is way back in the first century when Christians were being sacrificed and being martyred for their faith in Christ. And the people were all sitting around watching this like it was a sporting event, some type of a spectacle. It was ghastly and sickening, and it was a gruesome scene. And when I saw that, I thought to myself, you know, these people have counted the cost. They are willing to give up their own lives for Christ. And it made me think, you know, I'm a priest, and I've made sacrifices, and I've professed the vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But would I be willing to give my life as a martyr for Christ? I think every one of us have to ask ourselves that. Would we be willing to give our lives as a martyr for Christ? The word martyr, by the way, means witness. So I've studied in Rome, led pilgrimages there, of course, the center of Christendom, and a must-see if you ever go to Rome. You've got to go to St. Peter's Basilica. St. Peter the Apostle, of course, largest church in the world. Great artwork, Bernini's columns and Michelangelo's works. But more than that, traditionally, it is built right over the spot where Peter's bones are. Peter was martyred, as you know, upside down. When they went to crucify Peter, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was. I want to be crucified upside down. They killed him upside down. Wow. So if you ever go to Rome, go on something called the Scavi Tour, S-C-A-V-I Tour. It will take you, not many people even know about it, but it will take you right underneath St. Peter's Basilica. And there's a place where many people were buried, and they believe the bones of Peter are right there, and you can even see them. They were sealed in a NASA box, a very clear plexiglass box. And they've done studies, and they believe that these were the bones of a fisherman. And the bones of the feet are missing because he was crucified upside down, and they believe they cut him down by cutting off his feet. And then, of course, St. Paul outside the walls. Paul, the great apostle, was martyred in Rome. He was beheaded, and his church stands at the place where he was beheaded. So I noticed that there are churches just about everywhere that you go in Rome having to do with martyrs. I think about the Church of St. Agnes. She was martyred at 12 years old. Church of St. Lawrence, the deacon, he was killed at age 33, very young. Our Passionist headquarters in Rome, St. John and Paul's, was named after two Roman soldiers who were martyred in 362. And I remember when I studied in Rome, I used to spend time outside praying, and I was so struck with all these martyrs. All these different people who had given their life for Christ. And I thought to myself, one day I'm going to be standing shoulder to shoulder with these people at the Last Judgment. There will be billions of people, everybody who's ever lived, and I want to have something to show for my life, because these are great people who gave everything for Jesus Christ. So when I stand before Jesus when he comes again in glory as judge, I want to make sure that I have a book of good deeds so that I can stand and be worthy to stand before the Son of Man. That's exactly what Jesus told us to pray for. Pray that you be worthy to stand before the Son of Man, because multitudes are going to wither away in shame. So now is our time. Now is our time to make good. It was St. John Paul II, our former Pope, he wrote an apostolic letter. It was called Toward the Third Millennium. And he said that more Christians have died in this century than all the other 19 centuries combined. And I found that interesting. You know, most of the times we think that the martyrs were way back when in the first century, you know, like these Christians that were fed to the lions. And what a horrible way to die. But actually, it's this century. People everywhere are giving their lives for Christ. St. Maximilian Kolbe, one of my favorite saints, he was a Franciscan. He lived during the Second World War in Auschwitz. He was held in a Nazi concentration camp. He was Polish. And he gave his life in place of another who tried to escape. Because a man tried to escape, 10 prisoners had to be put to death. And St. Maximilian gave his life in a starvation bunker for one of the 10 that was going to be killed. And then I think about Oscar Romero. He was a bishop. Because he stood up for the rights of the poor in South America, as he was presiding at Mass, he was shot because of his dedication, because of his sacrifice for Christ. I think about Jean Donovan and her sisters, three other sisters, who went to work in El Salvador, and they were martyred because of their work with the poor. So she was only 27 years old. In our own Passionist community, I think about St. Maria Goretti. She was stabbed to death at age 11 rather than given to rape because she so valued following Jesus and being chaste. I think about our own Father Carl Schmitz, who came from Chicago, and he went to the Philippines as a missionary, and he defended the rights of the poor, and he was shot to death. St. Thomas More, who lived according to his conscience. There's so many martyrs, so many saints. I think of lay people who have dedicated their lives to Christ. I think about Dorothy Day, founder of the Catholic worker movement, defending the rights of the poor, reaching out to the poor. And if we're going to stand shoulder to shoulder with them, we have to have something to show for our lives. So, I remember celebrating Mass down in the catacombs. The catacombs are the underground tunnels where the early Christians used to hide. And they went underground because they were being persecuted by Rome. And when I had Mass down there, I wore red. And whenever I celebrate the Mass of a martyr, wherever I celebrate a Mass of one of the saints who have given their life for Christ, or an apostle, because they all died for Christ except maybe St. John, I always wear red vestments, because red is the color of blood. And there is a cost for following Jesus. An authentic disciple is willing to count the cost and give themselves fully. I remember one Christmas, we were celebrating Christmas and singing Silent Night and What Child Is This and giving gifts, and everybody's holding hands and praying together, and it's such a beautiful. The next day, the feast day of Saint Stephen the Martyr, the first martyr in the church. He was martyred as a witness for Christ, stoned to death. And we go from Christmas on one day to the next day wearing red, the color of blood, for a martyr. What is the church telling us? The church is telling us that, yes, the Christ child, it's the Christmas season, it's wonderful, follow Jesus. But if you want to follow him, realize that it's going to cost. It may even cost you your life. Certainly, following Jesus is more than just going to church. We must give everything because he is so worthy and he is the Son of God. So, I want to talk to you about getting involved more and more and more. I remember after Jesus touched me as a young man, I was about 18, 19 years old, I realized right away that I needed to get involved. At that time in my life, just a teenager, I have this wonderful touch of God, experienced the grace of the Holy Spirit. I wasn't going to church at the time. First thing I realized is, you know, I need to be a part of a community. And I have to tell you, I was Catholic, born and brought up Catholic, but I wasn't sure if Catholicism was right for me, because as a teenager, quite frankly, when I would go to Mass, I was bored. Didn't seem to make any sense to me. The homilies didn't make any sense, and you know, the singing wasn't all that good, and it was so anonymous, and it seemed so cold, and nobody knew anybody. I said, I don't know if this is right for me. So what I started to do is I started to explore other churches. Went to the Baptist church, went to the non-denominational church, went to the Lutheran church, went to all these different churches. That's one of the reasons why now I reach out on different networks. And although I'm Catholic, people that are of other denominations support me, because I'm not necessarily trying to make you Catholic, but I am trying to help you to be an authentic disciple of Jesus, whatever denomination you go to. I decided to remain Catholic. And one of the reasons why I decided to remain Catholic is this. I heard a saying from a group called the Christophers. The Christophers are a religious organization in the Catholic Church. They were founded by James Keller. This is back in the 1940s. And they produced a lot of positive literature in the Catholic Church. And one of their main sayings, and I love this, is, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. I hope you got that. Better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I was right in the midst of trying to decide what church to go to. And I thought, should I be Catholic? And I'm not sure if I really want to. It doesn't seem to fit me. And then, you know, the music's not all that good. Should I be a Baptist? Should I be non-denominational? And then I heard that, better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And I realized something. I was being negative about the Catholic Church. I was saying the music isn't any good, the preaching's not any good, it's so anonymous and everything. Then I heard that saying, better to light one candle than to curse the dark. I was cursing the darkness. And what God was telling me is, Cedric, instead of leaving, why don't you become a light in the darkness? And that's exactly what I did. Instead of leaving the Catholic Church because I didn't like it, I got invested in it. I got involved in it because I realized early on as a young man, as a teenager, when I started to come back to church, I realized right away that I had to get involved. I mean, to me, if you read the scriptures, like what I read to you today, it's a no-brainer. I mean, this is so simple. I don't know how people don't go to church, or even if they do go to church, don't get involved. How can you listen to the teachings of Jesus and not follow them? I mean, if you really love him, if you love me, keep my word, he said. If you really love him, you want to follow him authentically. So I decided to get involved, to be a light, to make a difference, and I did it within the Catholic Church. And since then, I've learned so much about Catholicism, and I realize, and this is not to offend any other denomination, but I realize that Catholicism has the fullness of truth. We have the scriptures, the Word of God. A lot of times the Catholics are blasted because they're not a Bible-believing church. Yes, we are. At every Mass, we read the scriptures. We have Eucharist, we believe is the real presence of Jesus. We are apostolic. We come historically right from the apostles. So again, I'm not trying to make you Catholic. I'm simply telling you, whatever denomination you want to belong to, great. Invest yourself in it. Get involved. Whether it be Baptist or non-denominational or Pentecostal or whatever it is, I'm glad that you are involved somewhere or go somewhere, but get invested fully. Follow Jesus, count the cost, give everything that you've got. I remember the first time I decided to get involved. I smile because it was 40 years ago. Here I am, 20 years old. And I sense that I want to do more than just go to church. I want to get involved. I want to make a difference. I want to spread the good news. I felt that fire deep within. You know, when you love the Lord and he's touched you with the Holy Spirit, you can't remain quiet. I think it was Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. And Paul the Apostle said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. So even back then, I think God was calling me to preach. I just didn't know it. So I said, okay, I got to get involved somehow. So they had at my local church, this is in Massachusetts, they had a CCD training program. That's the religion, teaching religion to young people. So I said, I'm going to get involved in this. And I remember they had a class and we all had to give a presentation after a couple classes. And so now, you know, I'm very shy, very introverted, and I'm starting to get involved in my local church because I feel like this is what it means to follow Jesus. You got to get involved. You can't just sit in your room and pray. You got to be a part of the whole thing. I didn't necessarily want to be, but I wanted to follow Jesus. That's what this is all about, authentic discipleship. You know, and you realize historically what people have done, how they've given their life, how they've sacrificed, how they've given everything. And it's like, I got to do something too. I'm not going to be lackluster and lukewarm and lazy all my life. I want to be a part of this. I want to turn the world upside down. I want to help people come to eternal life. Don't we all feel that call? We all have this wonderful potential. So anyway, I'm in the class and I remember this is the first sermon I ever gave, 20 years old, and it's at my local church. The reading I was given, and they gave me a reading, had to do with Paul the Apostle, and he talked about how we are the body of Christ. And I remember, you know, it's that whole scene where Paul is persecuting Christians. He ends up being a witness to the stoning of Stephen. And I talked about Stephen as the first martyr. So it's that whole thing about here's Paul going on the road to Damascus. Jesus appears to him in a bright light. Paul falls off his horse. And get what Jesus says to him. He says, Saul, Saul, he was Saul at that time, why are you persecuting me? So Jesus was being persecuted in his body on earth. And so what I said, you know, I get up there in front of all these people. I had these little note cards and I would stand there and I'm trying not to look at them too much, you know, because you don't want to look like, you know, you're just dependent on your notes. And I was so petrified. But what I shared is this. I said, Jesus is telling us that we are the body of Christ. Every one of us. We are his body on earth. Because he told Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he was persecuting the Christians. So we are his body. We all have different gifts. One gift may be music. Another gift may be speaking. Another gift may be teaching. Another gift may be reaching out to the poor. But altogether, we make up the whole body of Christ. And so that was my first sermon 42 years ago, just as a young man. And I think back on that, I was petrified and terrified, but you know what? I did it. And I got involved, and that led to the next thing, and that led to the next thing. And God started opening doors, and I kept at it, and I didn't give up. And then I started to realize that I've got a gift of communication. And so I started realizing my potential because I launched out into the deep, and I made a move. And I want you to get involved. You may be petrified too and scared, but remember that parable of the talents. The one that got one talent hid it in the ground because he was afraid. Jesus said in the parable, why didn't you even give it back to me with interest? God's like this investor. He wants something back. He's invested in you and me. So I met a woman one time and she wasn't going to church and we got into a conversation. She realized I was a priest, told me she wasn't going to church. And this is what I told her. I didn't say go back to church. I said, you know, we miss your singing. We miss you praying with us. And we miss the gifts that you can bring to our community. And that's one of the reasons why I want you to come back to church. Number one, because it's biblically, it tells us to meet together. That's from the book of Hebrews. But number two, you have a giftedness that nobody else has. You are the body of Christ, and we need your giftedness. In community, when we all gather together and pray, you help us by your prayer, by your presence in church, and you help us by reaching out. So let me wrap all this up and talk about how it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. I know the church can be anonymous. I know that sometimes the preaching isn't all that good. I know that sometimes the music is lacking. I know that sometimes it's a largely empty church and not everybody's going. But instead of cursing it, and speaking bad about it, mumbling and grumbling about it, why don't you receive the message that God gave me? Better to light one candle, and you are that candle. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Salt makes people thirsty. Light brings light in the darkness. Please follow Jesus the way that he wants to be followed. And when he saw the multitudes following him, he turned to them and said, unless you hate your own life, hate your family, take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Count the cost. And I am hoping and praying that you won't just live, that you'll live with passion. You were born to win, and part of that winning attitude, that successful, significant spirit, is getting involved and making a difference. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again.